Good morning, Packers fans. It's Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Tuesday. That's right. It's Tuesday. Still a ways to go, but we hit that Friday and hit that weekend. Good to see everybody in the comments section. All quiet at 1265 Lombardi as Phase 2 began yesterday in the offseason program. Phase 3 will begin next week, and we will hear from a number of Packers players, as we do every year during the beginning of OTAs. It'll be interesting to see who the Packers put forth with the expectation that Aaron Rodgers will not be there. Will Jordan Love speak? I'd be very interested to hear what the young man has to say. But that's a week away. For now, they're working away there at 1265 Lombardi Avenue. We are here chatting Packers because that's what we do each and every day, Monday through Friday on Packers Daily. Morning, everybody, in the comments section. Uncultured Barbarian comes in hot with two super chats even before I begin. My goodness. Uncultured, what's up, buddy? Nice Blazing Saddles reference, Nags. Can the next stream be titled, Sorry, Goose, but it's time to buzz the tower, Pappies? Yeah, no doubt. Packers fans, for those of you who maybe missed the title of the stream, we're just pawns in the game of life between the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. They don't care about us. We're just collateral damage, man. Uncultured again. Thanks for the super chat. Or maybe we can get an In the Immortal Words of Jean-Paul Sartre, au revoir, gopher, Pappies. Yeah, or we can invoke the immortal words of Socrates, who said, I drink what? Wow, so many people. Good morning, Melissa. How are you? John, good morning from Oregon. What's up, man? Carrying the G in Oregon. Good to see you, John. Hello from New York City. Oh, Nathan, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. BJ Raji, the next tight end position converter. Gotta believe it. Good morning, Dennis. How are you? Nags coming into Green Bay for any games this year? Wisco Disco. Ryan, I believe I will be. I don't know which ones. I don't know how many. That all is stuff we need to get worked out this offseason between Corey, myself, and iHeartRadio, because we'll be partnering with them again. And you know, before the pandemic hit, I was there for every home game, and we did the post-game show out of Stadium View. I don't think we'll be doing that again out of Stadium View, but I think we'll be doing something. So stay tuned. But yes, I'll be in Green Bay at some point for some games. There's no doubt about that. Do I agree with Ron Wolf? Wow, Chad, that's a wide-open palette you just gave me there. I think, you know, obviously, the game is very different now. It's a very different time. One of the reasons Ron stepped away, and he has talked about this, he talked about it then, was the kind of continuing evolving free agency, and how it was more and more apparent that guys were going to be given incredibly huge salaries that he didn't think probably in his kind of structure of how he wanted to pay people, he didn't think they were worth it. So, you know, his backup linebacker, who he thought was really valuable as a backup, would hit free agency and get paid insane money. I mean, he did kind of see where it was going, because that is kind of what happens now. You know, free agency happens, and these guys who were always very excited about new names, but essentially are depth guys at other teams, rarely do they become Za'Darius Smith and kind of hit their stride in their fifth year, so to speak. You know, they get overpaid. And he just hated to see where that was going. I say all that just to put it in the context of, you know, he doesn't like, or he never really kind of wrapped his head around the idea of players having power and players having the ability to move and choose where they play. He's very old school, as he said in that, you know, that interview, talking about teams, you know, fans come to cheer for the teams, not certain players. Well, we know that's not true. I mean, that man drafted traded for Brett Favre, for God's sakes, and people came from far and wide to watch Brett Favre play. Now, obviously, Aaron Rodgers is in that same category. He is a rock star on the football field, and there are certainly people coming to watch Aaron Rodgers play. I do think the idea that the one part where I agreed with him in that interview was when he talked about the franchise quarterbacks who suddenly have complaints after signing big, huge money deals. No one made them sign those deals. You know, Aaron Rodgers just signed a multi-year, huge, highest paid player in the league extension, what, 2 years ago? Now 3 years ago? No one made him do that. You know, Deshaun Watson, same thing. Russell Wilson, same thing. I understand that you are superstars and I understand you stir the drink, but those contracts didn't include GM provisions. How many times have we heard Aaron Rodgers say, I know my job is to play quarterback? Now, obviously, he is a special case. I understand that. But the Packers operate in a certain way and have given him untold amounts of talent around him throughout his career. They have compensated him more than fairly. They have made him the highest paid player in the history of the league twice. It's not like the Packers have not done anything for the guy. So in that aspect, it's like you sign that contract knowing that this is how the Packers operate. Well, welcome. This is how the Packers operate. So that's the one area where he was talking about that I could agree with. I could get on board with. Okay, now we got some super chats. See, you talk too long, you miss super chats. That's what happens. What we got here? Big Cheese, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Morning, Nags. Do you think Amari can be as big of an impact his rookie year as Randall Cobb was? 1,000,000,000%, yes. No question about it. Now, he's got to do the work. That is down to Amari and him putting in the work, being assignment sure. Obviously, I think he'll get first crack instantly at returns. But as far as how much damage he can do from scrimmage, you know, week one, so to speak, that is entirely up to him. I think he's got the talent and the upside, no doubt about it. I think he could, in this offense, the number of different ways he could be utilized, potentially, yeah, he could probably have a bigger impact than Randall Cobb had his rookie year. Well, there's a long way to go there. Jeff, thanks for the super chat. I know it's very early, but what's your best guess at starting O-line week one? I want to say Bakhtiari at left tackle because I see him running around and walking around and shadow boxing with Rodgers, and I'm thinking he looks pretty healthy, but I think that's really, really optimistic. So I'll go Jenkins, Runyon, Myers, Patrick Turner. Ask me again in a couple weeks. Uncultured. Thanks again. I still want a Yosh with the most segment for training camp. Pappies. Well, let's hope he makes it to camp, man. All these offensive linemen that they drafted, who knows, man? Who knows? See what else we got. Drew, thanks for the super chat. What is King's role on this team? Still the starter while Stokes comes into his own, or is he put into action with King taking a rotation package role? Drew, that is one of the things we will undoubtedly watch play out throughout training camp. I don't think anything's going to be handed to Stokes, but you got to think they're going to want to push him to try to get into the lineup sooner rather than later. I think King will be, if not handed the starting job, he will be put in the starting position opposite opposite Jair to begin with. And it will be up to Stokes to probably go get that job. Now, all of this is just guesswork on my part, obviously. But I think King has value in the sense that he's a perimeter corner who you know will give you starter-level play. I know there will be plenty of disagreements with that statement throughout the comments and throughout the internet, but he provides you with kind of a life raft while you wait for the rookie to come along. And look, there's every possibility that King is your week one starter. There's a slight possibility that King gets cut. If Stokes enters the summer on fire and just starts turning heads and is crazy, and the guys along the interior start developing, and Kadar Holman suddenly shines, and Kavion Ento makes a jump, and all of a sudden it's like, wait a second, we don't even need Kevin. Don't forget, Brian Gutekunst literally said that re-signing Kevin King was not in the original plan when he entered the offseason, but Kevin sat out there unclaimed, unsigned, and finally Brian said, well, let's just bring him back. So, you know, if they like what they've got, and the young guys play well early, there's a possibility. I'm not saying it's, you know, that's definitely going to happen, but there's a possibility Kevin doesn't even make it to week one. That's how, you know, that's how kind of important this camp is going to be. That's a good question, though. We'll see. A lot to play out there. Oh, don't want to miss any super chats. Everyone gets so upset if I do. Nicholas, thanks for the super chat. Any chance Devontae gets extended before Rodgers? Yeah, I think there's a chance. I mean, it's impossible to say without, you know, knowing the dynamics of what's going on behind closed doors, obviously. But I still maintain they'll extend Devontae probably right before the start of training camp. I mean, who knows what happens with Rodgers, but yes, I think they'll get Devontae done this summer, probably late. Riley, thanks for the super chat. Chiefs TV planning on going to any away games? If so, what events would you have set up, assuming no COVID restrictions? No idea. I actually have a meeting with Corey tomorrow to talk about the start of both our off-season plan once minicamp is over, but then heading into training camp and then the season. So I'll have more information. Of all the away games that I might go to, Cincinnati looks like probably the most likely at this point. And that's just on a personal level. So we'll see. Nathan, thanks for the super chat. Player empowerment has been evolving over decades and decades. Not sure it's anything new. In basketball and soccer, it's more obvious because there are less players. Well, Nathan, basketball especially, single players can control the game more. Now, obviously, that's why quarterbacks have suddenly found their voice and are able to maybe push against the power structure a little bit because they do affect the game so much. But it is still the game that involves the most teamwork, and it is still 11 on 11, and you still need all those other 10 guys on the field to work with you. Whereas in basketball, you can just clear out and let Jordan do his thing, or LeBron, or whoever you want, you know? So, player empowerment has definitely been coming. There's no doubt about it, but the NFL is uniquely positioned, and trying to compare it to other sports is pretty useless in my eyes, just because of the way it's set up between the CBA, the NFLPA, and the NFL itself, and then just the nature of the game itself. Robin, thank you for the super chat. Can this defensive backfield be the best in the league? I honestly feel like our safety group makes such a difference to many elements of the defense. I mean, sure. Yeah. I mean, it depends on who you're asking, right? I never get caught up in that. They're the best. Like, everyone's like the top five and the top five secondary, or they got the best O-line. I had somebody in my mentions the other day arguing about the Packers used to have a top five O-line. Now they don't. Who fucking cares? I mean, as far as the best in the league, sure. Could it be? Yeah. I mean, I just want them to be good. I want them to take the ball away. I want them to fly around, put their hat on a ball, affect the game, play solid defense, wrap up when the guy's in this second level. I mean, I'm a simple man with simple tastes, simple desires. Top five, best in the league, man, that is talk radio fodder that I do not have time for. I am too old for that shit. And that is not to diminish your question, Robin. I think, absolutely, you are correct. The safety group, especially Adrian Amos, probably one of the most underrated players in the league. They can do a lot in this defense. And don't forget, they are learning a new scheme. There will be bumps and growing pains along the way. But yes, they have every chance to be very special. But man, there's so much time before we even begin to know how they're going to be effective in the new defense. And two, best in the league. Is there an Academy Awards for best secondary in the league? I mean, I just don't care. I just, it's so tiring. That kind of, I think Twitter's like melted my brain in that regard, because that's all sports fandom seems to be right now and has become. He's the GOAT. He's the best. That's the best team. It's the worst play I've ever seen. It's the single greatest moment in sports history. Like, yo, can we just enjoy the game? Robin, you got me on this one. You got me going. William, thanks for the super chat. Is there a lack of coaching on the D-line? Other than Kenny, you would have thought that Dean and Lancaster would have unlocked something. Have you watched Tyler Lancaster? Do you know where he came from? If anything, Lancaster is a poster child for what a good coach Jerry Montgomery is. No, William. No, sir. He has been getting water from a stone with some of those players. Robin, thanks again. Happy birthday to my beautiful wife, Amy. Happy birthday, Amy. We saw you on the draft stream. I hope you're having a lovely birthday across the pond. Happy birthday, Robin. Get off the stream. Go treat her right. Take her out. Cyril, thanks for the super chat. Asking for Kenny below, but what tape could we watch to get a better feel for the star position and Barry's scheme in general? Go Pack Go. Well, the star position, the best I've ever seen it play was by Charles Woodson in Dom's defense back in the day, like 2009, 2010. As far as in this particular defense, as far as I can tell, last year the Rams provided the exact scheme that Barry's trying to implement here, and we don't really know if that's the case. They didn't have a single guy who manned that position. Ramsey did kick inside a whole hell of a lot early on in the year. They seemed to kind of back off some of that as the year went on. But I still maintain, I think we're going to see Jair utilized in the slot a bit more than he has been in the past. But I don't know if they're going to want to find that single guy who mans that position, say, you know, would have been Raven Green in back, you know, a couple last couple years. Now he's gone. Will Redmond was utilized there a little bit last year, but I don't think there's right now. I have no idea who that one guy would be. But as far as tape to watch, yeah, go watch Charles Woodson back in Dom's defense. That is the best that position's ever been played. Uncultured. Thanks again. Better Paul Simon jam late in the evening or 50 ways to leave your lover. Pappy's. Oh, 50 ways to leave your lover. Like 1000%. Not even a contest. That is easy. How are the scouts in the Packers organization rated on their performance and who does it? Great question, Brandy. Brian does that. Ultimately, there are guys, his lieutenants, his top lieutenants, so to speak, John Eric Sullivan and a few other guys who are in charge of their area scouts and will get, they will evaluate guys each and every year. As for how exactly they are evaluated, that's kept behind closed doors. There's not, you know, that's not out. That information isn't out there. But yes, the guys are constantly being evaluated and they are given a review every single year. There's no, you know, that's no different than most jobs in that regard. What else we got? Don't want to miss any. Oh, Andrew, thanks for the super chat. You have to think Stokes was who we wanted, right? The board broke in their favor and we had the capital to trade up for Newsom or Bateman and we didn't. I'm not crazy, right? Ha ha, Pappies. yeah, I mean, by all accounts, and you got to always take this with a grain of salt, but yeah, they really like Stokes. And apparently Brian, you know, did have him kind of circled and they loved how the board fell for them. And you're right. They did have the capital to go up. And that's something that Brian's done each and every year. He didn't do it this year, I think, because he knew Stokes would be there for him at 29. So, yeah, by all accounts. Now, you never really know. But, yeah, that seems to be the guy they were targeting. Bill, thanks for the super chat. Good is still very underrated. Swiping Tonyan from division rival for peanuts and then led tight ends and TDs has to be his most savage move so far. It's a damn good one, Bill, and one that never gets its due, you know. The thing that kills me is he just gets schemed open. Right. Because his route running has nothing to do with it. His ability at the top of the route to disengage from coverage has nothing to do with it. Oh, and then by the way, he has to catch the fucking ball. He does nothing. It's all being schemed. Like that's always my favorite dismissal of it. Because, you know, you could literally just put anyone in there. Why wasn't Jimmy Graham just catching 11 touchdowns if it was that easy? You know? Spot on there, though. Javier, thanks for the super chat. I know he's unpopular, but the guide showed he can play in 19, and last year he was clearly making a lot of business decisions, knowing he's kind of injury-prone, and it was a contract year for him. I assume, Javier, you're talking about Kevin King, and that is a good point. There were certainly plenty of moments on film where you saw him turn down plays where he could get physical and didn't, where he had in the past. One of my favorite plays he ever made was down in Dallas early in the game, where he had they threw the ball to Ezekiel Elliott in the flat and he comes flying in and absolutely lays waste to Elliott in the open field with throwing a shoulder into him. It was a great tackle behind the line of scrimmage for a loss, but it hurt his shoulder, you know. And there are plenty of other times where he has been super physical in the run game, even when the guys have been in an open field against the sideline. He's giving them really good shots. Last year, you did see him make a number of business decisions. I think the worst is probably down there in New Orleans in week 3. But there are a number of other times where it certainly seemed like he had a little Gabe Wilkinsitis. You know, like, I'm in last year of my contract. I'm about to hit free agency. I want to get paid. So let's just use two-hand touch rather than wrapping up and laying the wood. I mean, I hate to cast aspersions on the guy. You guys know I have defended Kevin up and down for 4 years, but the tape is out there, man. The eye in the sky don't lie. So, Javier, I very much agree with that sentiment. Walter, thanks for the super chat. Do you see us making any last minute bargain deals? I still think they're fishing around for an inside backer. I got to think they'll, you know, as far as bargain deals, do I think they're going to sign a name free agent? Probably not, but I think they're going to continue to pick over whatever's available in free agency, search the waiver wire, maybe make a trade. But yeah, I don't think they're done, but I don't think it's going to be some big deal where it's a big name that we all know. That I would be surprised at. Javier, thanks again. Not saying he's going to turn into prime time all of a sudden, but I think he's talented and will be motivated as hell to generate some market for himself in next year's offseason, talking 20, obviously. Very good point, Javier. I think there's every chance that Kevin comes in and balls out, leads the team again in interceptions. I mean, when you're playing opposite Jair, you're going to get thrown at. There are going to be opportunities. It is up to you to make the most of them. He did 2 years ago. He didn't last year. Here's hoping he does again this season. WM, thanks to the super chat. Bears fans everywhere are telling us Packers front office and fans in the football world knows love sucks. Despite this literally not being the case, certainly with me, what are you hearing from most Packer fans? I think it's interesting. I keep hearing that Jordan Love has to be dealt, you know, that we've got to give him away to appease Rodgers, which is absolutely insanity to me. We have no idea what Jordan Love is, but he is certainly a young, talented quarterback who has a great unknown future ahead of him in the league. We've seen the King's ransoms given up just this past draft in service of trying to find a quarterback. Teams that have tried and tried and tried and failed and failed and failed. Keep running on that hamster wheel of giving away tons of picks, trying to find their quarterback. The Packers gave up a fourth rounder, moved up in the first round, got a guy that they like and they want to develop. I'm really excited about that. Every person who says, oh, Love is going to suck, A, has no idea what they're talking about, and B, is usually just afraid of the unknown, which I get. I understand, especially when you watched Brett Hundley out there when Rodgers went down a couple years ago and you saw what life is like for the rest of, you know, the plebeian franchises in the league. But the Packers are trying to ensure that they aren't one of those plebeian franchises. Just because they're different and they operate differently than most of the rest of the teams in the league doesn't mean they're wrong. So we'll see. I'm excited for Jordan Love. I can't wait to see him on the field. I just hope his debut doesn't come this year. I want to see 12 one more time. Bears still suck. Sandy gets it. Sandy knows what's up. Have to think Love has to show something similar to Rodgers for confidence to grow in him. Yeah, it would be nice. Of course, when that occurs, we have no idea. If it occurs behind closed doors, then we're never going to see it, right? Maybe it shows in the preseason, but then everyone says, oh, it's just preseason, and completely dismisses it. Don't forget, we all thought Rodgers was bad those first two summers. You know, it took that third year coming in for Brett when Brett was injured for anyone on the outside to say, oh, wait, maybe this kid can play. You know, it can take a while. Of course, Packers probably don't have a while now because of the bomb that Rodgers probably dropped. Jesse, thanks for the super chat. The Bears are still plebes.
Of course they are. They still suck. Everybody knows this.
Biggest lie in the last decade, McCarthy's revamped playbook or Dom's nitro defense? Come on, neither of those were lies. Maybe they weren't very effective, but they weren't lies. I like me the nitro defense. Come on now. Do you guys feel Rodgers will show up to camp next month or will he sit out? I said yesterday, I think he shows up right before the third preseason game. I think he pulls a Michael Strahan, lets the Packers twist as long as possible, and then shows up when he starts missing game checks. And then he goes, let's go win the Super Bowl. I'm all in then. The Vikings still suck eggs. Correct. No doubt about it. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. Can't thank you enough for talking Packers each and every day here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a favor. Hit like on this video. Subscribe to the channel. And then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow. Go Pack, go.